The makeshift memorial behind the East El Paso Walmart where the shootings occurred grows by the hour. People continue to bring candles, signs, and saints as they pay their respects and wipe away tears. El Pasoans aren't just weathering a great sadness. They're struggling with fear and anger. Carlos Ramirez is an El Paso native.
People don't want to use violence, but sometimes people, when they feel fear, scared and stuff, they're going to use violence. Like me, I got friends like that. Right now, they're saying, oh, well, let's do the same. Now, I wish I could go to jail and confront that dude, you know. He's wrong, but I don't think violence will cure nothing.
Rocio Landeros was at the memorial Thursday with her young granddaughter, Ariel. They are scared.
La niña me comentaba ahorita, dice, ay, es que si nos bajamos del carro, después si viene alguien y nos chutea, digo, no.
She says her daughter was scared to get out of the car to view the memorial because someone might shoot at them. Landero says it's very sad that young children now have to live with the fear of being shot. Since the shooting, there have been calls for the government to enact policies to stop this from happening again, ranging from stricter gun control to an improved mental health care system to removing violent video games from store shelves. Randy Parras, National Organizing Director of the League of United Latin American Citizens, says people want something to happen now.
Whether it's background checks, whether it's taking assault guns off of the streets, whether it's more monitoring social media, investing in domestic terrorism, looking those out, that's people want something to be done. They can no longer say, well, it has to be all or nothing. This whole thing of nothing happening after these types of tragedies, I think that's over, and it's time for the people to really set the new standard of this is the time, we want action, we want urgency.
Parras hopes that what happened in El Paso will be a turning point in an ever-growing trend of hate-inspired mass shootings.
You know, everyone has their threshold for injustice, right? It comes to the tipping point where people say, you know what, that's it. Either my family member, my community, or anything else, it can't just be a one day, it can't be an event. It has to be part of a movement, part of a process.
It's a process that's been nearly 200 years in the making. Mexicans and Mexican Americans in Texas were viewed by white Texas settlers in the 1820s as foreigners, invaders in their own land. Texas Rangers and other Anglo vigilantes are thought to have killed hundreds, perhaps thousands, of Mexicans and Mexican Texans between 1914 and 1919, just because they were brown. Yolanda Chavez Leyva is the director of the Institute of Oral History at the University of Texas at El Paso. We spoke outside one of El Paso's oldest neighborhoods, Duranguito. She says Saturday's shootings were just another chapter in a long history of anti-Mexican violence in Texas. Even the rhetoric hasn't changed much in the 100 years that Mexicans were called bandits and criminals. That sounds eerily similar to being labeled criminals and rapists.
You know, one of the things that I find both useful as a historian, but also it's a kind of a burden of being a historian, is that when things happen, you can tell when it happened before and before and before. So this language goes back to the 1820s, where we're criminals, where we're lazy, where we shouldn't be part of the United States, and all the way to now.
Leyva says a solution to hate crimes has to go beyond gun control. She believes this country needs to confront a culture of white supremacy.
White supremacy is so evident in Texas history, but it's evident in the whole history of the United States. So if we take away guns, that still doesn't take away that system of inequality, of violence, of hatred. I want us to look at white privilege. I want us to look at who has power. I want us to look at the systems of power, because that's huge and that's ingrained and that's been here for hundreds of years. And I don't know how we dismantle it. I don't. I've been thinking and thinking. But I know for sure we can't get rid of it if we don't acknowledge it first. So if we as Americans can finally say, this nation is built on white supremacy. If we can do that, this could be a huge turning point.
Leyva herself is not immune to fear.
I'm not usually a scared person, but right now everything seems to scare me. I saw a group of students in a crowd earlier today, and my heart started beating really fast. And it was new student orientation. And my heart was just beating.
That's a sentiment shared by 25-year-old Juan Rivera. He made his first visit to the Walmart Memorial with his two nephews. They left candles and a poster and brought pizzas to mourners. He recalls his first visit to a Walmart since the shooting.
And I just got like so emotional because I was like, these people were just shopping. What we're doing right now, they were doing, minding their own business, back to school, buying food, stuff like that. And it could literally happen anywhere, anytime now. And that really kind of affected me. I couldn't even sleep yesterday.
Rivera's 17-year-old nephew, Michael, is wearing a full-on black Spider-Man costume in 97-degree heat. He and his uncle wanted to do something special for the families at the makeshift memorial.
It feels happy. I'm happy that I made at least more than 5 kids smile today, giving them pizza or taking pictures with them. It feels very good. They probably haven't smiled ever since they probably lost a family member or lost somebody's friend.
12-year-old Javier Alvarado was at the memorial with his mom. He's been through active shooter training at his school. Still, he can't believe it happened here. Javier says he can't understand why people hold so much hatred in their hearts.
As you know, the sign over here says, if we could spread love as quickly as we spread hate and negativity, what an amazing world we would live in. I love that quote because it's true. A lot of people spread more negativity instead of positivity, and we need to start spreading a lot of positivity throughout this world.
Javier's mom, Myrna Ceballos, hopes her son will be okay when he goes back to school.
You know, I've been having the conversations with him throughout the week, you know, asking him, how do you feel about going back to school? You know, I don't want this to change his way of being, of the stuff he's done, you know, on the norm. And honestly, you know, this was an outsider who came to our city to break our town, but he's not broken anything. He's made us so much stronger, and I think it's taught us to love each other more, to hold on to each other more, and to tell each other we love you more often.
I'm Norma Martinez in El Paso.